My name is Dorothy Torrey. My best years of my life were working for the BBC, which I joined at the age of 19 in 1936.
Yeah.
And one of my early things was sent to DG's office, and he and I liked each other.
Let me just ask you what it was like then when you first met Lord Rees. If do you remember?
Oh, yes, terribly well. I was introduced to him, and of course he was 6'7", enormously formidable to look at.
Was he a bit frightening?
Well, yes, because of this awful wound on his face, you know, shot in the face in 1916. It altered his appearance tremendously. I mean, he was so human, you know, his very warm personality, and felt people's feelings tremendously.
So you got on very well right from the beginning?
Absolutely, absolutely. I stayed with him until 38, when he disastrously decided to leave. Terribly tiresome he was towards the end, because he was always coming out of the office bored. I've got nothing to do. I've done it all. I've done the BBC. I've got it where I want it.
Is that what he said?
Yes. I now want to do other things, you see, and he's got great ideas.
The word Reithian has come into our vocabulary.
Yes.
You know, and the fact that he had this vision for the BBC to entertain, educate,
inform.
And inform, which I'm sure you know those. I suppose I think of him a little bit as a sort of dour Scottish man. I mean, is that right?
Oh, well, yes. And of course, he had this terrible background, which I call terrible, being an atheist, of repression. His father was moderator of the Free Church of Scotland. And so he had this, what I call, repressive childhood.
What effect did that have on him?
Well, this was the interesting thing. Soon after I joined, he went on a cruise with Montagu Norman, the governor of the Bank of England, without Lady Rees. And when he came back, he was emancipated.
Really?
He started to say, I never knew life was for living. And he started drinking, not drinking a lot, but allowing alcohol on the premises.
And this is when he was at the BBC?
Yes, yes. I noticed in my youth, I noticed the difference in him when he came back from this cruise. It sort of opened the world to him in a sort of way. It's extraordinary, really. Another thing that was marvellous about him was he'd come into the office and say, it's a lovely day, Dorry, we're going to Kew Gardens. And I've asked for the chauffeur to come round. So we used to get into the car and drive to Kew Gardens and walk about and smell the flowers and go into the houses and everything. And then come back. Well, that's a sort of jolly thing.
That he would
unexpectedly do. That he did suddenly. And I would say that I never went to university. I was educated by the BBC, particularly by John Reith, seeing two sides, you know, impartiality, seeing two sides of every question, thinking things through.
What qualities do you think there were in his character which made you invest that kind of loyalty and respect in him?
Well, it was the conviction. I know that his upbringing, I think, is absolutely ghastly, but it did lay down foundations, which one must admire, of morality and honesty. And it's so marvellous that he became emancipated. So he was a lovely mixture.
He was fun, was he?
Oh, madly. My favourite man of all time.
Really?
Absolutely. You realise I loved him.
I do.
Yes, loved him, yes.
And I can see how much you must miss him.
Yes, absolutely.
You're making me wish I could meet him. I mean,
dear Becky, when we used to, old BBC hands used to meet, who knew him, we could spend the whole evening talking about him. The character, an amazing fellow.
He has a reputation of being almost like a dictator in the BBC, and that he believed that that's how you should run
the BBC.
I mean, yes. Do you recognise that character?
Well, I do, because the firmness. No, it's not dictatorship. Of course, what he did say at one time, that his ideal form of government would be dictatorship tempered with a certain amount of humane decapitation.
Did you hear him say that?
Yes.
Did you ask about it?
Yes, absolutely. We talked about it. And I laughed, of course. And, of course, bless him, he thought he could run the country. That's what he hoped, you know, when he left the BBC. He went to see the Prime Minister, say, I'm at your service, you see, thinking he'd be given sort of top job in the government in some way. And he was sent to Imperial Airways, which was rather dashing.
Was he a bit disappointed, though, not to maybe
absolutely
do more in the
absolutely
political world?
Absolutely. And, of course, when he came up against Churchill during the war absolutely didn't get on at all.
Oh, didn't they?
No. Well, he loathed him.
Why?
Because he was in command and he wasn't.
Do you think that Lord Reith would approve of the BBC now and the kind of programmes it does?
No. Because when I became PA to DG and clerk to the Board of Governors, which I was 10 years, he was all on the telephone. "Dorry, they're putting jazz on Sunday." And, of course, he was absolutely outraged about this. And we had gone, and I used to say to him, "John, if you were still here, you would probably have put jazz on by now. You must realise that times have changed."
Was he a kind of one-off?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
What do you think he instilled in the BBC right from the beginning?
This amazing thing of being a public service and impartiality. It is impartial. All the time I was there, we had different governments, left and right, and each of them said, "The BBC is biased." They evened out. He hated politics, Lord Reith did, really.
Why? You know.
Well...
You can tell me, it's fine.
Well, everything they say is for party political, and he was not party political.
Was he friends with politicians?
He sucked up to them rather a lot.
Did he?
Yes.
How?
Well, because he wanted to flatter the Prime Minister, get the Prime Minister on his side.
I wonder, what do you think, then, Lord Reith would think of today's BBC?
I'd love to know what he thinks about it.
Would you? Do you think, then, that Lord Reith is still the sort of essence of the BBC?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. In spite of the extraordinary changes, and in spite of the details, you know, which he would deplore, all this frankness on Woman's Hour about female orgasm and such, you know, he'd be astounded, as I am in many ways at my age.
Well, our thanks to Dorothy Torrey for sharing all her views with our reporter, Becky Milligan.